But I spent 10 years for different period of time in that 10 years for five different sutras. What I have learned in that 10 years was the Theravada Sutra, which basically says, Allah asked Buddha Sakyamuni the good benefit, the benefits and potential disaster if one do not serve Buddha properly. That kind of sutra. One was Amitabha Sutra. The third one was Universal Bodhisattva's Great Vows and Activity chapter of the Flower Dawn Sutra, just one chapter. The third one was Diamond Sutra, the Emptiness Wisdom. And the last one was Surangama Sutra. These five sutras, the first are the Theravada Sutra, the rest four were Mahayana Sutra. And then I spent time listening to my teacher's teaching of the 80 Flower Dawn Sutra for only the first row. I didn't hear the rest, but then I was able to understand the rest of all the sutras. Flower Dawn Sutra, which is the most beautiful and enlarging volume of all Buddhism and sutras. And then I was able to teach the Wonderful Flower Sutra without learning from teacher before. And Pristigala Sutra without learning from teacher, was able to even teach other people of Zen Buddhism related sutras, such as Six Patriarch Platform Sutra. That's because if one fully understand one sutra and get the essence of that teaching, then to read other sutras, you can easily understand their teachings also. If you only study one sutra and able to teach only that sutra, and then another sutra comes, you have to spend time and study that one, then you are not truly, you won't be able to master all the sutras. You haven't got the essence of the sutra or the essence of the truth. Even in Confucianism, Confucius would not teach students for one thing, and students were not unable to figure out the rest. Confucius will teach a student who can understand when teacher point out one point, one corner. The student will be able to figure out or realize there are three other corners of the room. So my teacher said, listen to the sutra or teaching, not listen to the language or sound, but listen to the real meaning. If you can understand the truth from your teaching or listening, you are the best type. If you cannot understand the true essence and meaning of the sutra, but you can understand the key points of that particular sutra, that's also good, but not the best. And to be able to penetrate through the spirits, the ultimate truth of the teaching for any sutra is because of the wisdom. Without that, it's impossible. And to obtain wisdom of capable to penetrate through the sutra teaching, it comes from samadhi. And samadhi comes from precept. And in this practice of penetrating through the sutra, that precept is patience. Great patience, so that you will not look around to see other sutra, look around to listen to other teaching, but be patient to one sutra, one teaching. And then you're going to have concentration capability, and then you're going to have realization wisdom. And then with that, you listen to the sutra, you see the ultimate meaning out of the teaching. And then with that kind of realization or wisdom, when you open up any other sutra, you understand immediately. The last statement in the third virtue is to help other beings, other practitioners, to diligently practice Buddha Dhamma and march on the enlightenment path. So this statement in the third virtue is the only statement talk about interface with others and benefit others. The rest are pretty much requirements for oneself. So, in summary, starting from the beginning of be failure to your own parents, until the last one to help other beings marching toward Buddhahood. Then if you can do all this, three types of virtues, then you can be considered as truly a good man or good woman, as mentioned in the Kristagaba Sutra. And then you can realize it is not exaggerated. When you are good in such a level, possess all three types of virtues, you can be born 100 times, and every lifetime in the 33rd heaven, high level heaven, for 100 lifetimes. Because you possess this kind of greatness, three virtues completely possessed, then the result to be born into the 33rd level heaven for 100 lifetimes is not exaggerated. So these three types of virtues, as mentioned in the Observing Infinite Light Sutra, is the foundation to be born in all Buddha's pure land. Without that, it's not easy to be born into heavenly level. So I wish everyone will study more about the three virtues and contemplate about the meaning of the three virtues and try your best to put into practice and therefore establish cultivation basis for oneself, for one's own cultivation. And tomorrow we're going to talk about something also is a foundation, but it's a foundation for group practice, which contains six types of harmonies. Without the understanding of tomorrow's teaching, the proper foundation of group practice, then when people get together, the minds are scattered and idle talks between people, sometimes even causing disharmony and problems. Last night, we have talked about the key points of cultivation and the foundation. That is primarily for individuals' practice. Tonight, we're going to talk about six types of harmonies, which is also fundamental requirement for group practice. The three virtues, as we mentioned last night, is the foundation for self-cultivation. Now we discuss tonight the foundation for group practice. First of all, the Sangha organization, the term Sangha, is defined as four people, mostly monks, stay together, live together, practice together, and follow the six harmonies. Then it's considered as a Sangha group, which is defined or set up by Buddha Sakyamuni in the ancient time. Actually, for layperson or home living monks and nuns, in either case, if Dharma practitioners live together and practice together, they need to follow the six harmonies so that group practice will be harmonious and beneficial to each one of them. The first harmony is common viewpoint, which means they have a common understanding about Buddha Dharma and common understanding or agreement about the whole group. This is the first harmony for group practice. Buddha Sakyamuni has actually personally achieved these two great merits. Number one is always make all beings happy
And the second one was always join the merits and happiness of other people's virtues. And therefore, due to different types of beings and the capacity and their natures, so there are tremendous methods and even schools were established for the Buddhist practitioners. And that's why there are many methods and schools for Dharma practitioners. When a group of people stay together, it forms or establishes the so-called society. And for a peaceful, harmonious society, the important thing is harmony. They need to be in synchronized in their viewpoint and value systems. If they do not share the same viewpoint or share the same concepts, then harmony becomes impossible. And that's why it has to come, the first has to be harmony, the next comes calm, and then comes peace of the mind, then comes tranquility or samadhi, and finally joy and happiness. Even in Confucianism, Confucius said, the manners in behavior, its function, the important function of that is harmony. I remember a few years ago when I visited Peking to see Qing Dynasty's palaces. The three major palaces are three ancient structures. The first one, the title of that palace or the name is called the Great Harmony Palace. The second one, smaller in size, and it's located behind this first palace, is called the Middle Harmony Palace. And the last one is called the Complete Harmony Palace. So by the name, you can see that harmony is the key, is the spirit of the Qing Dynasty. Unfortunately, at the end of Qing Dynasty, when they lose harmony, they lose their dynasty. If they continue the original harmony, even today, we may still be the citizen of the Qing Dynasty and not a citizen of Republic China. Buddha Sakyamuni has given numerous teachings in numerous sutras and covers numerous methods. That is to fit into different types of human beings for their capacity, for their nature, and for their viewpoints. That's why there are so many different schools, and not to say branches from the schools. That's tremendous. Buddhism in mainland China has 10 major schools, and that is because the Chinese, ancient Chinese people have different likes or preferences, and therefore automatically forms 10 major schools. For example, the Flower Dome School were formed by people who enjoy Flower Dome Sutra and want to practice based on this one. And likewise, the wonderful Flower Sutra has formed their own school specializing in the wonderful Flower Sutras. So it is like an institute with a specialty, and it's not like a university with many different departments. Because if one do not concentrate in one particular method or teaching, but to cover, like most temples today, all kinds of teachings and all kinds of methods in one place, the possibility to become successful in spiritual area is almost none. In the ancient Chinese traditional teaching called the Three Characters Book, there's one statement said, the key of teaching, the importance of that is concentration. Therefore, for even average teaching, the concentration is highly important to learn the profound, subtle, and deep Dharma. How can we not use concentration? Among all the schools in Chinese Mahayana Buddhism, or Chinese Buddhism, the Pure Land School has less sutras compared with other schools. In the ancient time, they only had three major sutras as their highest guideline. And then in modern time, two more sutras were added and make a total of five as a major sutra for the Pure Land School. In the Qing Dynasty, layperson Wei Yuan, he added another one, added the universal goodness, activity, and vow, and great vow sutra, chapter out of the Flower Dawn Sutra. Just add one chapter to make the fourth sutra in the Pure Land School. And then, in the early 1900s, the great spiritual power Bodhisattva, sutra, which called a Complete Enlightenment Chapter of Great Bodhisattva, Great Spiritual Bodhisattva Sutra, actually it's a chapter out of the Surangama Sutra, and pick this one out and make it a fifth sutra for the Pure Land School, and it's given or provided by Most Venerable Yingguang. If we have two persons, both enjoy Pure Land School, one likes to chant the Infinite Life Sutra, the other likes to chant Amitabha Sutra. When these two get together, there'll be conflict. They cannot practice together. If two persons both enjoy Amitabha Sutra, but their understanding of the meaning of the Amitabha Sutra are different. One is based on Aoyi, master. The other one, his understanding or her understanding is based on the interpretation from Most Venerable Lian Shi. Then even doing the same sutra, due to different idea and understanding of the same sutra, they are going to have conflicts. And even for chanting Amitabha, the people already agreed, if one like to chant fast and one like to chant real slow, when these two people get together, they cannot practice together. That's why in the ancient China, in the Pure Land School and temple, the harmony of chanting the Buddha or whatever method they all agreed is in perfect harmonious condition. The moment you walk in that place, you can feel the tremendous harmonious are in that group practice. It is inconceivable. Unfortunately, today, in one temple, one place, there are numerous teachings provided by different teachers and numerous sutras involved as well. That makes even Buddha feel difficult. And how can we practice all methods, all teachings, and still have harmony? Therefore, the first harmony is to have complete agreement or in understanding, to have complete viewpoint about the practice, about the understanding toward Buddha Dhamma. The first harmony is complete agreement in viewpoint and goal. If the viewpoint and goals are different, it would be better to separate them rather than force them to be together, because otherwise there will be conflicts. It is not how many people we can have, it is how harmonious the members of the groups are. That's why the system established by Buddha is so great and so flexible that individuals do not lose their individuals' preferences. In the sutra, the story talk about Madam Waitishi. She was a queen. Due to personal and family trouble, she wanted to leave this world. For that reason, Buddha Sakyamuni showed her numerous pure lands of different Buddhas worlds. Buddha Sakyamuni did not show one pure land and said, "That's the place you should go." Rather, Buddha showed her all pure lands of different Buddhas and let her decide which one is the best one to herself. On the contrary, average human beings has a tendency to grab people to do things that we think is the best. If we can make it, grab people to our group, but due to differences in the viewpoint and opinions, there are going to be conflicts and the group will not be harmonious. Therefore, those who like to recite chanting Amitabha need to get together for chanting Amitabha. Those who like to do Zen Buddhism's approach and practices need to stay together. And those who enjoy Vajrayana Buddhism need to stay together. We should not have this intention, try to grab others and join our group, make our organization bigger and larger. This is very incorrect. Therefore, the importance is, if we have people have complete agreement in viewpoint and goals, then this group, no matter how small, it is very strong and very harmonious. The second harmony is harmony in precept and jointly observed by all members. And that is basically the common rules to be shared by all members of that organization. For a Buddhist group, of course, the fundamental precepts has to be in this common precept to be shared. Therefore, for the lay person group, the five precepts must be in that common precepts. And for the monk or nun or monastery group, then the bhikkhu and bhikkhuni, their precepts need to be in that common precepts of that organization. In addition to that, there are other common rules and regulations needed for this particular group should also be added. And that is so-called the daily agreement, which is only applicable to that group. And after all these rules and the regulation plus fundamental precepts discussed among members, agreed among members, they need to be observed by all members without exception. And of course, this Buddhist group and their rules and precepts must also in agreement with the law of the country. With this understanding and this agreement, then nobody in the group has different position than others. It is truly democratic society. Nobody has special privilege over others. The third harmony is physical harmony such that they can live together. This is in order to have people practice together day and night, and not just to offer a place so people can escape the responsibilities from the society. Today, due to improvement in material world and facilities, there are some places each member has their own suite. I'm afraid with this kind of approach, we do not obtain the physical harmony. We are deviating from the spirit of physical harmony. Because human beings, since time without beginning, their minds are so confused. At the daytime, when people are together, we will try to behave ourselves. At the nighttime, if we have individual suites with door closed, we may forget what we're supposed to do, become either lazy or do something not supposed to. And therefore, the merit accumulated at the daytime may be lost at nighttime. That's because individuals do have this kind of karmical obstacles deep inside everyone's heart. And that's why in the Kristagata Sutra, one statement said, all sentient beings, in every single movement, in every single thought, is basically creating bad karma or creating sin. Very seldom to have pure mind. Therefore, this physical harmony talk about to live together. So at the daytime, one monk watch the other. At nighttime, they still, in a way, watch each other. So nobody become sloppy or anything. And their rules and regulations actually tougher and more strict than military soldiers. Only through this kind of serious practice and close living environment in harmony that a man's bad habits can be transformed. However, Buddhism are always flexible. There are a few exceptions. The abbot, due to his high position and responsibility to the temple, has his own suite, so to speak, but it's not a suite of today's suite, very small. That's why the abbot has a term in Chinese called fangzang, which means a small place. That's all he can have. And also, person who in charge of all kinds of miscellaneous jobs for the temple, due to their schedule is busy, such as go to bed late and causing problem to other people. Therefore, he will have his own place. And of course, those old age or very ill, they need to separate themselves from the group. They have their individual places to sleep. The rest people, without exception, practice together, sleep together on a big flat floor. The fourth one is harmony in speech without argument or debate. Human beings can make easily a speech come through the speech. That's why ancient time people said illness oftentimes appear from things going into the mouth. Trouble oftentimes occurs when things coming out of the mouth. And there's another statement by the ancient people. They said, more speech, more trouble. In the Pure Land School, there's also a famous statement saying, cut down or cut short one statement, chant more Buddha name. Therefore, the less speech one makes, the better. And preferably, no speech at all. I'd like to give you an example. When I was in Los Angeles, my disciple or friend's children, a child, in the seniors in the high school. He attended a 3-day Japanese Zen practice in a Zen center. Actually, the Zen master already passed away. It's the disciple continue the Zen practitioner with a lot of American followers. That was the summertime. And the kid felt excellent. He liked to go back again in the winter because they have achieved this harmony of harmony in speech. Actually, there was no talk at all. Their rules are like the following. After breakfast, you can take a walk, and then 8 o'clock sitting in the Zen hall until 11:30. After lunch, go back to the Zen hall, sit at 1:30 until 5:30. And then, after some break, start sitting again at evening time, 7:30 till 9:30. From day till night, not even one speech, one talk, and continue such practice for 3 days. This young kid feel tremendous joy from within without any speech, and he liked to go back again. This is a good example of harmony in speech without argument. In this example, there was not even a speech. How could there be argument? There should be no scattered mind and idle talks. So for traditional Budanin chanting place, the ideally it should be only one sound of Amitabha chanting, with or without sound, but no other talks. In the Vajrayana practitioner of Vajrayana place or temple,